Palmetto Mornings on WRHI.
Well, good Thursday morning to you. It is 8:40, 73 degrees right here on Palmetto Mornings on WRHI FM 100.1, your home for news, talk, and sports. I'm Lucas McFadden.
And I'm Patty Mercer. Glad to have you with us on this edition of Palmetto Mornings. You can also watch us on Comporium Channel 103. Download the free WRHI app or join us live on Facebook. We stream there Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. until 9 a.m. You know, it's June 4th. It has been quite a kickstart into the year 2020. It's all about adapting and the opportunity to learn to grow through change and, of course, communication. And our guest this morning, talk about a fantastic educator, communicator. You got the books to prove it. Of course, I'm talking about Dr. Kimberly Johnson. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Yes. You know, we spoke briefly the other day about just if you go to social media, there's such a division. Mm-hmm. And we have overcome so much in terms of the message of Dr. King. And yet here we are, and we're seeing we want to understand the narrative. We want to understand how we can make a positive difference for change, because I believe we can recognize change is necessary. We all recognize that the death of George Floyd, the police brutality, wrong, unacceptable. But where do we go in terms of finding the common ground to stand and grow together? How do we find it?
Thank you for having me. I always like having a chance to sit down and have some good, real dialogue.
Good stuff.
I want to first start with what you said about Dr. King, and it is without a doubt that Dr. King was an incredible, prolific, powerful leader, but we also know that there were many other leaders of the movement that don't get the recognition that Dr. King did. For example, the Friendship Nine. You've got the City Girls. I mean, the list could go on and on forever. So this has not been a problem or an issue that has not had light on it. But we are just now saying, oh, wait a minute, the light bulb. And that in of itself is the problem, because we know that this is a continuous and constant journey to find equity and inclusion. I mean, it's been since the beginning of time. I mean, we're talking 1619, over 400 years. So we cannot have this conversation right here without going back even beyond Dr. King, because this has been an ongoing, perpetuated issue of inequity and marginalization and disenfranchisement. I mean, we all know the history books. We all get the same history. We don't all internalize the same history. So for me, as an African-American woman, the depth of what this is a lot deeper than you, perhaps, or you, because it has been forever in my life. It has been a forever thing. So I think in order for us to get to where we need to be, yes, there's a lot of change, I have to say, from 1619 to 1965 to now. There's been a lot of change, but we still have work to do. We're not there.
Right.
We're not there.
Right. And, you know, my heart breaks because, I mean, I guess the first real conversations in my family to understand Black history was watching the miniseries of Roots. Mm-hmm. You know, that just rooted something very deep in our hearts. And I do feel that, you know, the different representation, the diversity that we are seeing attend the protest is coming from that place of wanting justice for all. We're all Americans. Mm-hmm. You know, we stand on this land of freedom. But what does concern me when we see other groups taking advantage of the law enforcement being preoccupied. So there's looting and there's rioting. And I just question, does it have to be like that to get the message heard?
Yeah. Of course, I don't condone any type of violence. Violence doesn't, you know, Dr. King said that violence begets more violence.
Sure.
So we know that violence is not the solution. But definitely, we need action and we need conversation, and not necessarily in that order. We might need the conversation because you need to understand, I need to understand. We have to be able to see things from each other's point of view and through different lenses. And if we don't do that, we really haven't understood each other. And we have to understand that, yes, we do a good job with celebrating certain times of the year. I have a real sticky point with Black History Month, because I think Black History is all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It is not just a month.
And it's our history, too.
It is. It's all of our history.
Yeah.
And so we have to understand that we need to have conversations. Our children need to know who they are. And a lot of times I get really frustrated when I hear people say, I don't know what's happening to our kids today. We're happening to our kids today because we're not teaching them about who they are, their culture, the depth of who they can be. Because they're only building it from the things that are around them, social media. Social media tells them that you can't do this, you're not able to do this. And so we buy into that ideology. But if we as parents, as community leaders, Black, white, whatever color you are, start pouring into our young people that you are valued because you are a human being, not because of the color of your skin. But we are not there yet. So we skim it, we say it, we try, but we're not there yet. So until we pull back those layers of uncomfortable and really have these conversations, we're not going to be able to do anything more than what we're doing now.
And to that point, Dr. Johnson, here locally in our area, what does that look like? Does that mean having community meetings once a week, once a month? How do we go from it being just a conversation right now for a couple of weeks, and then it dies down, we go about our life, and then vacation season hits,
yep.
And then another year something like this happens, we're like, oh, we need to do this again. It's always like saving for a rainy day.
Yep.
When it happens, you're like, oh, I should have done a better job. So what does that look like? What's a vision that we can have stuff like programs or lessons? Or
I think we're creatures of habit, that when something happens, we step up and we step out because we are caring human beings and we want to help. But I also think that we are creatures of habit. When it settles down, then we're on to the next thing. And I think that's what we're seeing with all of the protests, is that it's not settling down like we wanted it to, maybe in our minds. But the time has come. It can't settle down because it needs to be unearthed. The conversation needs to be really unearthed. And I'm so proud of our young people that are stepping out and becoming the voices, because I'm getting to a point, we all are, that we're kind of going to this other part of our lives, right? You know, I'm only 27, but I'm going to be 29 soon. We're getting to that point. So we've got to start building up these great leaders. And in order for us to do that, we've got to get our young people interacting with each other. And to your question, Lucas, we've got to get more things done in the community, not just programs, because I think programs don't solve the problem. They just kind of get us through it. But we really need to be able to have a place where families can come and interact with people who don't look like them. A community cafe. If we had something like that, that would be an incredible space and place for people to come and hear stories, because we cannot underestimate and undervalue the stories of every single person, because those stories make you who you are. And everybody has a unique and wonderful and authentic story to share. So if we had a place that stories could be shared, that would be a great place.
Imagine if you had
a young person who came in and could sit and hear from a civil rights leader.
Yes.
Or in our community, not somebody that's just way over there, but somebody locally that did something, or even people to come in, and their stories don't run one way. I met, when I was working on the Friendship 9 project, there were a lot of white people that came to me and said, I was a part of that. I was there. I tried to help. And it really was an incredible eye opener for me as well, because I think a lot of times we think it's a single narrative story, and it's not, because this is about people, but it's also about the stories that people have that are embedded in hurt and pain. And until we can peel back that and get to what that hurt and pain led to, then we can understand why people may be bitter or angry or, you know,
fearful.
Or confused.
Or confused.
I mean, look at all of the emotions that we are sitting in right now. And it's not because we don't care. I think sometimes we just don't know what to do.
Where to start?
Yeah. You start with the conversations.
Yes.
You start with action. Because the conversations can't just be without the action. I can talk about this all day long and I'm changing nothing. But I need to be intentional and I need to be proactive on what am I doing? What am I doing right now in this moment to go shift and create change? And that means talking is great, but then what do we do from this conversation? What is my intentionality? What's my moment of action? And that's for everybody, black, white, whatever color you are. We have all got a part in this. And I think for so long, people have felt isolated or alone in the struggle. I mean, and I'm speaking from my own personal experience, because when I was a young girl growing up, and I grew up in the late 60s, I had teachers in middle school, even high school. The microaggressions that we face as African Americans sometimes are just not even heard. You don't realize you're doing it in some cases. Some cases I do believe people know it. They just do it anyway. But I do believe a lot of people don't know, because I had teachers who would tell me, and I was such a hardworking student. I wasn't the brightest student, but I was a hardworking student. And I would hear things like, "Oh, you're really smart for a black girl." And things like that, you know, that it's supposed to be a compliment, but it's a backhanded compliment. Yeah. So that doesn't make me happy. It doesn't make me smile because you told me I'm smart because of the way
you
gave it to
me.
Yeah.
On the perception
Absolutely.
Of where you think I'm going to go in life. I agree with you. And I think that if we could have those conversations and we could learn how to change the narrative, the communication, that would benefit everybody.
Absolutely.
You know,
Absolutely.
Because again, inspired through your story, inspired, you know, through, we all have those moments where someone thought we were less than we believed, but also the message in our homes and the responsibility that we have as leaders and parents to be the source of information and not let our children be raised by social media.
Absolutely.
It's very confusing.
Absolutely. And we need to really understand what equity looks like, because I don't think we really get what that is. Balance and equity, it means just because you do something, diversity is not the same as inclusion. And a lot of times we think we're being inclusive if we do something that includes other people. Mm-hmm. But inclusive means that I am totally embedded in who you are, where you come from, your history, your message. That's inclusion. And I say I welcome that into my space and my place. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times we don't have that. We say and we train people supposedly on inclusion, but we really are not being inclusive. I can think of a million jobs I've had, you know, through high school, you know, college that I worked, but I didn't ever feel included in that space. And it just makes you have to work harder, which is not a bad thing, but I'm working harder for the reasons I shouldn't work harder. Mm-hmm. I'm working harder because I don't fit in, or my hair doesn't look like yours, or my skin isn't this shade, or I don't wear this clothes, or my culture. And we have to understand, with every young person we're serving or every person we meet, your culture comes with you.
That's
whoever
right.
you are is who you are. So sometimes we look at people and we don't like that culture or that tradition, so we push that away when we need to be drawing into it, because that's how I get smarter, really. That's how I learn about who you are and how I can include some of the wonderful traditions and values that you have into my world.
That's right.
How many conversations begin like that?
I can learn about your culture without it taken away from my culture.
No,
it's not a threatening.
It should not
it's
be.
Enhancement.
Exactly.
It's a beautiful thing.
And we've got to even that playing field, because until we do, I think a lot of people are going to be confused and scared and fearful and angry, and rightfully so, because we talk about all of the freedoms that we have. And granted, I don't want to go live anywhere else, because I love living here because the freedoms are great. But at the same time, I realize that there is a huge imbalance across our country. And so that's why I said I think the time has come that we have got to do something more intentional and more practical, and we've got to have the conversation conversations, even the ones that make you kind of squirm around in your seat, because it needs to be done.
That's right.
And in order for us to move our kids to the next level of learning, we've got to make that happen.
Fantastic. Well said. Thank you so very much, Dr. Kimberly Johnson.
Check out her many books online, websites. They're just fantastic.
Yes. SallyCreativeWorks.com.
There you go.
Awesome.